Blog Talk Radio. can shed. It's all at the altar. He will meet your need. Ooh.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad you have stopped by the show today. We have another exciting topic we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about relying on the Lord's love and live in love. And before we start today, we'll have a few moments of prayer. Dear Lord, you have blessed me with a love that is infinite and eternal. Let me love you, Lord, more and more each day. Make me a loving servant, dear God, today and throughout eternity. Let me show my love for you by sharing your message today and your love with others, dear Heavenly Father. Give me a servant heart, dear Heavenly Father, and let me love. Love is an attribute of God. To love others is an evidence of a genuine faith. So, love today, Lord, let each of us love. Let us tell the Lord today how much we love him and how we will praise and worship him today. It's all about love. It's not about us. It's all about love. And we give God praise today for what's going to occur and what will happen and what will be said today on love. So if you're trying to get to the phones right now, you need to call someone. Give them the number to call in, area code 646-716-4389. And we are going to be talking about love today. And, you know, first of all, love is God's greatest attribute. It's the love. You know, love describes who God is and how he feels about each and every one of us, that he desires to be with us and have an eternal union with us. God commands that we discover how much we are loved by him, and then we are able to pass that love on to others. Love is the soul greatest need. And even our health is better when we know we are loved. My. You know, love brings security and calms us. Every other virtue has love at its foundation. You'll find that in John 15 and 12. Love one another as I have loved you. Loving like Jesus is not something that happened automatically. It is not something that's easy or naturally. It is learned through the trials of life. So today, we're going to talk about love from God, loving God, learning what God have us to do in love. How can we say we love God and we live right next door to somebody and we say they don't love him? We've never seen God and we see that person each and every day, and we say we love them, and he's throwing daggers in them and everything else. Do we truly know and truly, truly know what love is about? Well, today we're going to talk about love. And I hope each and every person have come where they can come on the line. And the number, again, to call in is area code 646-716-4389. I know some of you are all at work and you can't really come on like you want to, but I thank you so much for coming in and at least letting me know you were on the line and that you were listening, because it may be something that is said today that will help you and help somebody else along the way on talking about love today. You know, Christians are to interact with love, forward and toward all people, and reaction with love in all situations. And you know, we just can't say out of our mouth, I love you, but in our heart, we're not speaking that love. You know, I'm going to start off with the church. You know, church members fighting just moments before with no Christian love to be found anywhere in the room. Now they are eager to show Christian love to someone they don't even know. And they're sitting right there in the pew, rolling their eyes and everything else, and say that they love you, talking about you. That's not love. That's not the kind of love God wants you to have. You know, this seems odd, I know, to you today. Why would these church members be more likely to show love to a stranger than to fellow Christians? My, 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 my. You know, it's because the greatest test of love for some of us is not the stranger on the outside, but the church members on the inside. You know, God called us to a life of love, not just to destitute in the parking lot, but also to familiarize and believe wherever you, whether you're on your job right now, whether you're in a store. You know, you might be many places, but you can show love. You don't have to know that person by name to display love to them. You know, and as I was thinking about that, how careful do people forget and they say they love you, and the next thing out of their mouth is something bad, evil. And you say, but now, what attitude are they working in to display the work of love through their lives? My, my, my. You know, love is genuine. On the inside is love. That's displayed on the outside. You know, when I went over to Paul directed that the fellow church members show one another the type of kindness demonstration among immediate family member. You know, the friends of harmonious and humility yield to one another, seeking God's best in other persons and gladly sacrificing for the good of another or for the good of the whole or all. We built the body of Christ. You know, God is completely incapable of maintaining moral orders when injustice are committed against us. Our responsibility is to show love and to seek peace to the extent of our influence. You know, I started off with the church because we are to show love to one another. When a stranger come in to the body of Christ, they can show whether that's love in that sanctuary. Is it genuine love? You'll go out on the outside and show more love than you do to the ones in church. And the ones on the outside are seeing that. We are also expected to treat one another in a way that is consistent with the love of God. My, 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 my. You know, we have to show and display true love amongst our brothers and our sisters. Love must be without hypocrite, detest evil, cling to what is good. Let us love be without dissimulation upon that which is evil, cleaver to that which is good. You know, we need to show family affection one to another, brotherly love. Not outdoing one another and showing honor, but do not lack diligence, but be fiercely in spite of to serve the Lord. You know, we got to be kindly affected one to another with brotherly love. Not slothful in business, furious in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually instant in prayer. We have to show that love, y'all. Through Christian love can be a powerful influence for good. It can also be an effective mask to hide self-serving motives and destruction feeling. You know, pretending to love in order to control someone or to win their trust for deceitful purpose is unthinkable. Evil is not the Greek word that speaks of evil in the abstract. You know, a Christian's response to this evil should be ongoing or and loafing to the point that we back off and withdraw. We are to show love, you all, one to another. We don't have to wait till we have a lesson on Blog Talk or in our Sunday school lesson or the preacher preach about love. We should be showing love from the pulpit to the back door, from the side window to the next side window, from the kitchen all the way back to the backyard. We are to display love. God is all about love. You know, in the context of brotherly love, literally means to have affectionately for brethren. It's a body of Christ, a family relation, not through physical ties, but through spiritual bonds of love. You know, the family affection that is natural to show at home is the same kind of care we should also show to a fellow Christian member. You know, this affection is intimate, like the love of a child for a parent or the love of siblings for one another. You know, we have so many family members against each other because there is no love. We show it openly. Everyone see it. To possess it and do not demonstrate it by act of love is like not having it at all. We are to honor and refer to the value we placed on others in the body of Christ. We're talking about love today. Sometimes, you know, pride waits selfishly centered for others to give us honor. We don't have to wait for that. Humility takes the imitation to show honor to others. To outdo one another means to lead the way in showing this honor. We can show others how to love by a kind word, a deed, calling them up sometime. Send someone you love a little cheery card, a little note. You may carry some with you. And when you see somebody sad and down and out, you come to their rescue. You give them a helping hand. You give them a kind word. You say, you know, and I put on my cards, smile. God loves you, and so do I. I don't have to know your name to love you. God knows each and every one of you all right now listening on this Blog Talk, talking about love. I don't know you personally, but I love you with the love of Christ. And that's what he wants us to have, where we can have that love that runs from heart to heart and breast to breast. He's sitting watching our every move. He knows when we are faithful in love. He knows when we're doing something that's not right, but we're telling somebody with one breath we love them, but we throwing a dagger in them in the next breath. That's not love, you all. We need to stand up and tell them what true love is all about. You know, God desire for love. And God's desire for love from us is not primarily for his benefit, but for ours. One of his deepest desires is that we know his love. And somehow when we take action to love him, it is then we just discover just how much he loved us. When you think about God died on the cross for you and I, that shows you how much he loved us. You know, God is love. You know, if God had touched us with his love, the result would be love flowing through us to others. When we realize the depths of his love, our heart longs to show that kind of love to those around us. Faith connects us to love. You know, God gives us faith as a measure of getting in touch with his love. For once we have that love, we can pass it on to others. Love is greater than faith. My. Because the end is greater than the mean. What is the use of having faith? It is not connected to the soul of God. You know, God is love. Hence, faith, the meaning is in order to love. Love, therefore, is greater than faith. My. When you just think about love, the promise of eternal love, God's love is a sure thing that is always reaching out to us. This promise is called for celebration today. As we go through scriptures, as we go through just talking about love today, the lack of it, to rejoice, you know, to be glad in love, to, you know, to pray, to be faithful. We have to show that love, you all. We can't just go around no any kind of way, trying to do no any kind of thing. You know, I was reminded on a lot of, in the course of a day, because of the Lord's faithfulness, love for his people, he sustained them in the midst of suffering. And as I thought about that, people often struggle with how to understand and deal with the suffering that they inevitably enter their lives. Because as human, we have a fallen and a sinful nature. We must acknowledge that some of our suffering comes as a result of our sins. We make sinful choices, and we experience the consequence of those choices. You know, the Lord doesn't stop loving us. His people, even when they suffer as a result of their disobedience, based on verses in the Bible of Lamentation, we read the experience of exile on the part of the people of Judah. It encourages us today to rely on the Lord's love, even in the midst of our hardships and suffering. God still loves us. He said, come ye sinner, poor and needy. You find that in Lamentation 1:1-2, 20-22. You know, in the word, Jeremiah grieved over Jerusalem fall and the people affection. The cause of such suffering, however, was the people's unfaithfulness to the Lord. The Lord was just in bringing punishment upon them. And if you stay in Lamentation for a few minutes, you go to Lamentation 3:1. And I'm going to turn on over there and read what it was saying. I am the man that have seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. You know, you can read that all the way to, it goes to 66 verses, and we don't have time to read them all, but you can read them in your quiet time, in your prayer time. You know, this was greatest our faithfulness. You know, Jeremiah expressed both his heartaches in dealing with the burden of being a prophet and his hope in the Lord's mercy and faithful love. And as I went on, I went over to Lamentation 4:1. And I read what that says, and you can read all that in your leisure. How is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stone of the sanctuaries are poured out at the top of every street. Here they're talking about greater than our sin. In his fourth layman, Jeremiah recorded some of the terror that occurred during the siege of Jerusalem. Because of the people's sin, the Lord scattered them into exile. Yet the exile would not last forever. The Lord would complete their punishment. And you can read all about this in Lamentation. And as you read it, you will see what I'm saying. And in Lamentation 5:1, it says, remember, O Lord, what is come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Here the Lord was sending a revival, y'all. When you read 1-22, Jeremiah prayed that the Lord might restore his people. Their suffering was intense, yet an everlasting Lord could bring them back to himself. You know, as I was reading that, you know, I was thinking about all the things, the struggles that we, as chosen people, we go through. If you haven't been through a struggle, through a trial, to come out with a testimony on how good God is, how God loves you, what he's doing for you in your life, you can't help but look at when you read Lamentation, expressing not only the personal grief over the people suffering, but also the confidence in the Lord's unfailing love for his people. And as I went through, I was thinking their lives was characterized by affliction, homelessness, wormwood, and the poison that they all was talking about in all these different verses. But he still loved those people. He didn't stop loving them. You know, and in verse 20, I was reading, the painful memories was the prophet, constant companion. Expressed him before the Lord, Jeremiah admitted that he had become depressed. Each day seemed to bring only more to the prophet and the exile. Was there no hope for the future? Yes, there was hope in God because he loved us. We're going to go through some things down here on this earth. He went through everything. He went through ridicule and everything for us. He loved us. And we are to love just like he loved. We need to be drawing near to God's love. We sometimes feel drawing close to God, who is the source of love. Yet, when we finally choose to draw near, what a wonderful discovery we make. We are loved completely. My. Here we finally, you know, sought out that we discover you was tenderly compassionate in love. Instead of fear during our life pursuit moment, we feel secure, embraced, totally accepted, and completely loved by God. You know, love and test and truth, we're going to go through some. You know, God's commandments are guidelines for our life. While all of the commandments are important, do you know if anyone is the most important than love? You know, teaching which command in the law is the greatest, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And his second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That means God wants you to love your neighbor. What's a grand thing to be loved? What a grander thing is still to love and give love. My. And the word of God says in John 15 and 12, love one another as I have loved you. You know, we're talking about love today. And I'm going from the word of God, and I'm going from what God has given me in my heart, in my mind, to speak on love today. So if you're reading in your Bibles and you feel I didn't get to your verse, that means that's for you to read it at your leisure later on. But we want to use to expedite the time today to really focus on love today, to let the men and women of God know that they are truly loved no matter what's going on in their situation right now, no matter what it looked like, what it seemed like. God still loves you. He has his hands upon you right now. You know, those of you may be going through some trials and tribulation on your job. You just don't understand it. But God still loves you. He's telling you to hold on. Some of you out there have problems with your children. You don't know which way to turn. God got it all under control. He still loves them, and he still loves you. He wants you just to put those children in his care and continue on doing what he has given you to do. He has given each and every one of us assignment, and our first assignment is to love ye one another. You know, if I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I had prophecy, power, and understanding, and all mysteries, and all knowledge, if I had all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possession, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. You know, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envy or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irresistible or restful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoicing in truth. It bears all things, believe it all things, hope all things, endure it all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecy, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. But we know only in part. We prophesize only in part. But when the complete come, the partial will come to an end. The word says in 1 Corinthians 13:1-13, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. The word is telling us we have to love. How are you going to go to heaven and serve with God in heaven and say you love him and you don't love your neighbors next door to you or down the street? We have to show love one to another. We have to open up our heart with that love. Let that genuine love come out. Give someone a smile. Give them the time of day. The young man that may be cutting your grass, give him a smile. Let him know how you love him in the right way. You have the love of Christ in your heart. It would display. When you go somewhere, nobody going to have to say, oh, they walking around with persimmons in their mouth. They looking this way and they looking that way. They talking crazy. They talking everything. But you're going to be able to display love no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what struggle or suffering you're going through. You're going to find that you know you got that inner love that's going to show on the outside. You know, you've heard some people say, I had to laugh to keep from crying. Because sometimes that love will go to bubbling in that you'll go to laughing. You go to smiling. And people say, what's wrong with you? You just say, I love you with the love of Christ. Then they may say to you, but you don't even know me. I don't need to know your name or your address to know that you are God's child, you are God chosen. I'm to love everybody. And you'll be surprised how that love will run from heart to heart and breast to breast. We give God praise this morning for love, for understanding this morning of his love, for the commandments of his love. Because he is truly, truly worthy. You know, loving, meaning being obedient to him. When we love Jesus, how should we act and become clear? Even when we feel tempted to do the least, then loving things, we can remember his love for us and follow his example. And that's what we can do. We can follow God's example. If you love me, you will keep my commandment, he said. We know that only by such obedience do we really show our love. Sure, there are difficulty people we find hard to love. We all go through that. That's when we let Jesus love through us until our own love develops. There will be situations where it will be easy to fudge a bit on our calling, but our love for Jesus holds us to keep his commandment. You are so full of love and goodness. How can people know God if they know you? They'll see love that's running all through you. You encounter people. I'm going to use the example, running through an airport, trying to catch a flight. You see some people upset, or some people mad, something, but then you pass people knowing their flight have been delayed. They just go to smiling. They just happy. And you say, well, what are you so happy about? Why are you smiling? And they say, because, see, I know Jesus. Jesus orchestrated this here. It's for a reason that I'm still at the airport. It's his love for me. He's preventing something that I won't even be on, where I won't even have to be partaker of. And you can just start smiling. You can just start showing that love. And before you know it, four or five people are going to be caught on to what you're doing. taking the example of what you're showing them. Because, you know, you are the example. You are the Bible a lot of people may not pick up and read. But when you show that love, when you show the example of the love of Christ for your sisters and brothers, you'll be surprised how that love will come back to you. You know, true love is not based on outer appearance. It goes deeper, and it's a matter of the heart. Sometimes love is tested to see if it is real. It's inspired when someone passed the test. And all of you are going through tests. You're going through tests today on your job, on the bus, even riding in your car. Someone jumped in front of you all, gave you a bad sign or went to talking something. You could almost understand what they were saying, what they wonder up. But you can show love. God, I thank you that you changed me, that my errors are ways that used to be is no longer now. Lord, I thank you for the love that you have given me. All I can say is wave at them and say, God bless you. I love you. And then they're going to get mad. What is she saying? I love you. L-O-V-E. Love. Love. I love you. And if we start doing that every day, we start loving more tenderly every day, you'll be surprised. Just like when a person starts yawning and you tell her, oh, don't yawn. That's catching. That's catching. And before you know it, you don't know, five or six people may have seen you yawning. When you look up, the whole break room, the whole lunch people, they yawning. And you say, why are they yawning like that? You see how that caught on? When you start showing love, it's going to catch on like fire. Start showing genuine love. Because, I mean, you don't just have to be married to show love. You can show love every day. Even if you're married, show love to your spouse. Show love to your children. They came in with a bad report card, and they really tried. God knows they tried. You're going to scold them in the way you scold them, but do it in love. Somebody on the job may say something that you don't like, but you come back with the answer in love. Don't come back all huffed up, mad, and talking all loud and saying things you shouldn't. Show them love. Put a smile on your face. You know, sometimes you may have to sit down and write somebody and tell them just how much you love them. You may not see them, but you can share with them. Go out and pick out the most beautiful card that you would like for them to have, expressing your love to them. You know, many waters cannot quench the flame of love, neither can the flood drown it. You read that in Songs of Solomon. When you go to the Word and you just read the pages about love, the Psalms, Proverbs, Solomon, the Songs of Solomon, a love story, a love song. When you read that in the Word of God, you can't help but have love in your heart, that love that's just running. When people see you, they're going to say, well, what done happened to him? What done happened to her? But you are displaying love. Even when you didn't get that promotion, you know you felt in your heart you deserve. And they come to you with something negative, and they're going to go back shaking their head, scratching their head. Well, I was so nasty to them. I was so mean to them. But this displays so much love for me. Let me reconsider. They was to give you a pay raise. And you say, God, I know I deserve a pay raise. I've been doing my job. I went beyond the call of duty. But God, it's all in your hand. And then when you go to the Songs of Solomon and you start reading this love letter, these songs of songs which Solomon wrote, we're talking about love today. You can't help but say, oh, my, 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 my. I love you, Lord. And when you start loving God like you're supposed to, that love gonna go to your neighbors. It gonna go everywhere. Everybody you meet, you're gonna just smile and say, somebody in line don't have enough change to pay for their groceries. That would just come to my mind, y'all. And they don't know what they're going to do, and they need what they got. The love in your heart going to open your purse or say, here you go. You needed X amount extra. Here you go. And when they look at you, you doing that for me? You're going to say, yes, I'm doing that for you. And they're going to turn and say, I love you. You showing and displaying the love of Christ. You know, Jesus loved everyone. Jesus loved the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loved the little children of the world. He loved each and every one of us, no matter what color we look like to somebody else. If you cut us, each and every one of us, with the different colors that we worried about, we all going to bleed red blood, the same blood that Jesus shed on the cross for each and every one of us to let us know that he loved us. Do you feel you could put your son, your daughter, your husband, your mother, your father on the cross right now, that they would shed their blood for you? I know you would say, no, I don't know, I couldn't do that. But Jesus put his only son on the cross for us, where he bled and died for us, every sin that we committed. You know, how much does God love you? Just think about that. How much does God love you? He loved you enough to let you go. He loved you enough to let you hit bottom. He loved you enough to let you come back. He loved you so much that he would run to meet you. That's how much God loves you. When you walked away from him, he still loved you. He was still standing out there, standing right there with outstretched arms to you, just waiting for you to come back and say, my child, it's no sin that big that I don't forgive you, but I still love you. I forgave you, and I still love you. So forgive your brother, forgive the neighbor, forgive your daughter, your son. And you will say, well, who is my neighbor? I'm glad you say that. God loves come from with open eyes, open arms, and an open heart. Today on this line, whoever's listening in may come back by archive. Do you have open eyes today? Do you have open arms today? And an open heart? Can we take the risk of loving our neighbor with God's kind of love? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. You know, Jesus replied, what does Moses' law say about it? He said that you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, your strength and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. Right? Jesus told him, do this and you shall live. And the man asked, which neighbor? Jesus replied with an illustration. A Jew going on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothing and money and beat him up and left him laying half dead beside the road. I know y'all read this. By chance, a Jewish priest came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. How many of you all have did that today that's listening on the archive or might be online that haven't said anything? A Jewish temple assistant looked at him laying there, but then went on. But despise a Samaritan came along. When he saw him, he felt deep pity. Kneeling beside him, the Samaritan smoothed his wound with medicine and bandaged him up. Then he put the man on his donkey. He got off of his donkey. He put the man on his donkey. How many of you all would have did that today? walking alongside till he came to an end. At this time, and we are living in dispensation, it could be a hotel, it could be a motel, it could be someone home that you pass, that you'll be able to leave this man or this woman or a child. I'm paraphrasing it now. But here, the next day, he handed the innkeeper, whoever it was you asked, to take care of this person for you until you come back. You gave them the money that they need. Now, which one of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man? Was it the bandit? Was it the victim? You know, the Samaritan? The man replied, "Yes, Jesus, now go and do the same." That's what I'm telling you all today. Go and show love today. No matter where you are today, whether you're sitting at your desk, you're talking on the phone with someone, and you're talking on the phone with a neighbor, you went to visit a neighbor, or you might be riding in your car with your windows down, and someone passed and said something at the red light that was displeasing before God. You, in turn, can show love with a smile and just say, "God loves you." And then when they really go to thinking about what you say, that God loves you, they're going to feel bad. They're going to have to go to God and repent because you didn't say nothing bad to them. You didn't use a curse word. You didn't throw a dagger at them. You say, "God loves you." You know, I'm going to say a prayer for love of neighbors today. You know, when neighbors don't measure up to our expectation, we can go to God for a change of heart. With his example and assistance, we can love our neighbor as God wants us to. You know, Heavenly Father, out of love for me, you have sent Jesus to be my Savior. I am thankful for that, and I want to show my love for you by loving my neighbor. Keep me from harming anyone by hand, mouth, heart, or mind. Help me to bear patiently the wrong that others do to me. Grant me a forgiving heart that I may not try to gain revenge against them. Let no anger through or rise of thoughts in my mind or guard my tongue from angry words. Fill my heart with love for my Savior that I may show love to others by being kind and helpful to them. Help me to be a good example to others. Use my good example to bring them to know Jesus. Guide all my thoughts today, Lord, my words today, Lord, my action today, Lord, that all of my doing may bring honor and praise to your name, God. Good to my friends and neighbor. Take us all to heaven in your own good time, Lord. Grant these blessings for the sake of Jesus. Today I said that prayer. I don't know why I went that way when I was talking about love. I just left my little script that I had written down, and God has just been filling me. Because there's somebody living today, somebody on the line today, that have not been showing love that they should have. You know, we can love the unlovable. We are naturally drawn to be beautiful, kind, and loving people. Mature love knows how to love those who seem unlovable, those who seem incapable of giving us anything in return for our love. You know, this kind of love is heaven's love. It's not hard to love those who sparkle the diamonds people in the world. The real test of love is being able to love those who are like pieces of coal, those diamonds in the rough who might get us dirty. But if we love them, even so, with enough positive pressure from love, one day they'll be diamonds too. Say you are diamonds today. You can be a diamond in somebody else's life today. You can love the wicked. You say, "How can I love them? They did this to me. They did that to me." To see God, we're going to have to love them. You know, God stretched out our heart capacity when he tell us to love our enemies. Loving them prove that we belong to God, for he loves everyone no matter what they have done. And if anybody on the line today would like to come in and say anything on love, press 1 on your keypad. I would love to hear from you today. I know this might not be a shout message, but this is a message. I am just the mail lady delivering the mail today because we need more love in the world today. We don't need hatred and all the things that are going around. If we showed more love toward one another, we wouldn't have all the stuff going on in the world today that we are having. We need to show more love to one another. You know, love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them. And don't be concerned about the fate that they won't repay. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as sons of God, for he is the kind to unthankful and those who are very wicked. Those that owe you and say they're going to pay you and never paid you, leave it with God. Just continue on loving them because God has that love. He gives us that love. You know, when we grieve, sometimes we grieve for lost love. We grieve for ourselves. Let us celebrate those that have gone home to heaven, not knowing the full extent of God's true love. He left us here. We can kneel and commune with God. We can give and love each and every person that we come in contact with, no matter what color they are, what relationship they are, no matter what creed they are. We can love. Never say, I can't love, because Christ loved you. When you was in your mess, love's greatest attribute was love. He loved you. He died on the cross for you. You know, loving like Jesus is not something that happened automatically. It is not something that's easy or natural. It is learned through the trials of life. Often I say, I want to be like Jesus. Or I want to love like Jesus. Part of me believe it can happen easily. God waved the magic wand of grace over each and every one of our life, and suddenly we'd be like Jesus. Reality hit one day. When I remember how Jesus had described in the Bible, he was despised. Y'all have been despised. He had been rejected. Many women of God on this line, y'all have been rejected too. A man of sorrow, we've all went through sorrow. And familiar with suffering, we've all went through suffering. You'll read that in Isaiah 55:3. And it said, if I truly want to love like Jesus, I must be willing to deprive and reject, to subject to sorrow and suffering. This is a training ground for loving like Jesus. Each time I respond with love, when someone is unloving toward me, I take one step closer to loving like Jesus. Recently, I did something I believe was loving toward a person in trouble. But another person looking on decided what I had done was evil and unloving. And she made sure she told me so. And she said, how dare you tell me I was evil and unloving? I shouted a list of her own faults back to her. And I ridiculed her for lack of experience as a judge of my action. I let her know I thought she was spiritually blind and rational and stupid. But how did I respond to her verdict, are you unloving? By being unloved, how did I respond to her determined that what I believe God called good, she called evil? With evil, I see how far I have to go to love Jesus. Repeatedly, she faced, you know, he never responded in any other way but with love toward us. And today, that's what we are talking about, love. Every day, you and I both face tests in love in our life. If I respond in love as Jesus would, I would pass every time. But if I don't, I'll fail. Lord, today I ask that you give me and each person listening on this line today enough grace to reject with love just like you did, and to respond, but to love like the love you had, not to reject the love that you have given us, but to respond positive with the love that you give. You know, real love brings out the best in us. It looks beyond our faults and see what we can become. You know, I'm going to just leave this with you all today. I love you not only for what you are, but for what I am. When I am with you all on this line, I love you. I love you when I get off the line. Not only for what you have made of yourself or me, but for what you are making of me. I love you for the part of me that you bring out in me. I love you for you putting your hands into my heaped up heart and passing over all the foolish, wicked things I've said and done, that you can't help dimly seeing there, and for drawing out and to the light all the beautiful belonging. There is no one else that had looked quite far enough to find. I love you because you are helping me to make of the lumber of my life not a tavern, but to be a temple. Out of the works of my everyday life, not a response. But I love you because you have done more than any creed could have done to make me good, and more than any faith could have done. To love me, to make me happy, you have done it without a touch, without a word, without a sign. You have done it by being yourself. Perhaps that is what being a friend on this line means. After all, it's to love, to build up, to have mercy, show grace. And today, that's what our topic was about, love. Today, start loving one another. No, you may not like what so-and-so did or what so-and-so did, but don't you know you want to go to heaven one day? You want to reign with God? And you don't want him to tell you, you never love. You never love your sister and brother. You never love your mother and father. You never love. You never forgave. Forgive and love. That don't mean you running in and out of their house every day, but forgive them. Love them like Christ loved the church. We can love each other, you all. And I hope you got something out of this message talking about love, about your mind, about suffering, about sin, about affliction, about homelessness, depression. You can see people right now depressed, but if you start displaying love to them, they may call you on the phone and bless your soul out. But if you come back with the words of love, don't you know they were clamped down? So today, we want to tell you, please love. Love, let that love run. It's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. To love brings happiness. Reflect the goodness of God's most when we love others. It is a life highest and sometimes most difficult to go. So love. Friends, you give so much to me. When you come to the line, you give a listening ear, a soothing voice. You give a caring heart. You give a helping hand. And sometimes you give a healing hug. You can give me a cheerful smile, whether I can see it online or not. Thanks for being a loving friend today. Thank you, each and every one of you all, that took the time to come to Joy and Peace Outreach today to hear about love. Let us love one another. Let us love through the eyes of God. When we see our enemies from God's perspective, compassionate followers, for he has seen the sorrow in their heart, that have caused them to behave in such a manner. He longs to reach out to these people and comfort them. And he sometimes uses our hands to do it. We have to bring them up to the fore. We have to show them love, not hatred. So today, I love each and every one of you all. And you know my little saying is, if I had the tentacles of an octopus, I would hug each and every one of you and tell you just how much I love each and every one of you. And thank you so much for listening in today to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. Get online, Facebook, Twitter. Don't put nothing crazy. Send an email, send a text. Tell everybody on your Facebook, on your Twitter, your blog talk, how you love them. No matter if you didn't love their show, what they presented, but you don't know what God gave them to say. So just send an email today. Write a letter to some lost friend that you haven't heard from in a long time. Tell them how much you miss them. Tell them how much you love them. Until next week, I want each and every one of you all to be blessed. Have a wonderful and a splendorous week. Until next week, bye-bye.